This morning, we're going to go ahead and start with a passage out of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul talking to the Romans and just communicating something very special about this new and better covenant that we have. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." This is an amazing, wonderful, powerful truth that is a New Testament, New Covenant truth. This is part of what makes this a new and better covenant, is this right here. The fact that you received a spirit of adoption. It's the Holy Spirit. Who look at it? He bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. We call it sometimes in a phrase, the assurance of salvation. We've believed on Jesus. We believed He died for our sins. We call upon His name. And there is something that causes us to know that we've been born again. If you want to get technical and put it in a laboratory, what's going on the inside is the Holy Spirit in you is bearing witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. That's what's happening on the inside of you. That's a powerful thing. That's the starting point of your Christianity, is that sense, that knowing, I'm a child of God. Praise God. But the cool thing about it doesn't just stop at bearing witness that you're a child of God. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead and guide you into all truth. Praise God. The bearing witness that you're a child of God is the first thing He's going to bear witness to, but throughout the course of your life, He's going to continue to bear witness to all things. He is in you. In fact, I love that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is part of what makes it a new and better covenant too. That wasn't always the case. In the old covenant, you had the prophet, priest, king. You had certain select people that were anointed by the Spirit of God. They would act as an intercessor between you and God, that priest role. And then whatever they would tell you, you would follow them as they were led by the Spirit of God. That was the old paradigm, old covenant. Different paradigm, new covenant. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, go back to algebra. I hate to make you do this, but kind of go back to your algebra days. X equals those as many as are led by the Spirit of God. All right? Y equals the sons of God. In this case, X equals Y. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right? You don't come to church for your pastor to be your good shepherd, to be the Holy Ghost. I'm here to feed the flock of God. We kind of went over this last few weeks, talking about how to test the spirits. One of the big things that a pastor does here is to help facilitate your walk with the Lord, to help you learn how to hear His voice and follow after those specific words that He has for your life. We've tried this in the body of Christ. We've tried for the pastor to take that role. It was called the shepherding movement. You know, where the pastor would try to micromanage your life. It's just unscriptural. It's not right. You have a Lord, and your pastor's not your Lord. I say this, I'm your pastor, I'm not your master. I'm here to kind of help that relationship between you and Him, where you know your God, you know His voice, and you're walking with Him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God equals the sons of God. Are you a son of God? Are you a child of God? Has the Spirit cried in your heart, Abba, Father, then you're part of that group that's led by the Spirit of God. And thank God we do have pastors, we do have ministry gifts, but like Paul said, all those things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So thank God He gives us these resources, the ministry gifts in the body of Christ to help us as we're learning how to walk and follow and flow with the leading of the Holy Spirit. John at one point said, he said, regarding those that would try to deceive you, You need not that any man teach you. That anointing abides in you and teaches you all things. You know, he's telling that to people who are still learning and growing up in spiritual babes. He's saying, you got something in you. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And so we got to realize someone lives on the inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. Not he that is in your pastor. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And when we begin to renew our mind and orientate our own thinking to the fact that God lives in me, not the ministry gifts, me. As many as are led, they are the children of God. As many as have received the spirit of adoption. It's not just an adoption to know that you're a child of God. It's the greater one. The one who's there to lead and guide you into all truth. So, this morning, I want to talk about, basically the message is simply called, When God Speaks. Okay? It's kind of a partial statement, but it's a partial statement here. But I just kind of want to, get across this morning the fact that God speaking to you is normal Christianity. It's normal Christianity. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So basically, when God leads you, when God speaks to you from the inside, you're going to be able to understand that and learn how to flow and be led by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does it look like in real life when God speaks to you? So we're going to get real, real practical this morning. Real practical about what that looks like in real life when you're led by, because you are meant to be led by the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to you personally. I just said that, just that theme in my heart is very strong. There is nothing like hearing from God and knowing you heard from God. It doesn't matter who's clucking around you. When you know you've heard from God, you're good. It's everything. That secret place, communication, fellowship with God. Praise God, I'll tell you, it's everything. As far as really going on and just enjoying and living out this life for God. So when God speaks, again, these are just kind of some basic guidelines when God speaks. Number one, He calls you aside. He calls you aside. Now, this is the story of Moses from Exodus, and you'll probably be familiar with this story a little bit, the burning bush story. Exodus chapter 3, it says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Now, this is really the part of the story I want to look at this morning. When God speaks to you, He will call you aside. Think about that. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He saw something. And then he said, I will now... In other words, he saw something. He's busy, though. He's going about his day. He's got his to-do list. And he sees something. This is very much like the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You kind of get something, a thought, but you're going about your day. He's going about his day. But then, verse 3, I will now turn aside from his schedule, from his to-do list, from the things he has going on, and I will see this great sight, why the bush doesn't burn. Now you'll notice, and verse 2, when he looked and beheld that the bush was burning with fire, God didn't speak to him. He noticed something, but God was silent. Verse 4, So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here I am. This is an amazing story, and it's kind of subtle. But Moses saw something, but he was busy. But in his tending the flock, process of tending his flock, moving him back to the desert, you know, moving him around, he saw something that caught his eye. And he stopped and he decided to give it his attention. his full attention. Once he turned and gave it his attention, then he got something. He heard something. We're talking about when God speaks, as you are led by the Spirit of God. So many times, it is this way. You will get something in your heart. You will get maybe a thought. It could be a person. It could be a scripture. It could be something. You almost kind of sense it like a little knock on your heart. And you got a decision to make. I can either override it or turn aside. We'll say, turn aside or override when the Spirit of God prompts you. Real life stuff, where faith meets real life as it relates to being led by the Holy Ghost. There's promptings, and you have a decision to make when He prompts you by the Holy Spirit. Am I going to turn aside, or am I just going to kind of, oh, that's a good thought, I'll remember that. And you won't remember that. I'm talking from experience. I thought, wow, that's really a cool thought about, maybe it's a thought about grace, maybe it's a thought about provision, maybe it's this good scripture, or that person, yeah, I got it, oh yeah, I should pray for that. And just kind of keep tending your flock. When things happen in your life, there is a decision. God will call you to turn aside. He'll call you to give your attention to that prompting, to look at it. Something happens when that happens. Here's the way Jesus puts it. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I can know that theologically. But until in my heart, when I sense the Lord saying, we need some time together, I can feel a prompting for that. And I can override that prompting, or I can turn aside and say, okay, Lord, here we go. Here we go. I just need some green pasture, still water time. Praise God. You know, Hebrews, "For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There's a place where there is mercy and grace for you, for your time of need. It's there. There's a quantitative, Paul talked about it in the scripture, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There is a supply of the Spirit of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives in me. But there is a real throne of grace, and I come before that throne of grace, and I obtain something I don't already have. And I got to go to the throne of grace to get it. There's going to be a time when I come aside and say, "Lord, I'm turning aside. I'm going to stop tending my flocks for a while." Because I've tried to do this while tending my flocks. Because I know it's there. Yeah, okay, Lord. But I'm telling you what, you know and I know the difference between trying to fellowship with God on top of tending the flocks and stopping and turning aside. No flocks, no TV, no phone, no nothing, just me and you, God. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God said, "Moses." Well, he had ears to hear at that point. He wasn't distracted. Kind of the Mary and Martha story too. "Martha, Martha, you're distracted." Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's chosen the good thing. It won't be taken away from her. There are times as you're led by the Spirit of God, and these are just between you and God's stuff again. This is why a pastor can't be the Lord of your life. He can't be everywhere, and he's not supposed to, praise God. I'd be a very busy man, I'd be very worn out, and I wouldn't want to do this. No fun. No, it's great for you to know your Lord, know your God, and walk with Him. And you get that Spirit and those promptings. Maybe it's to call that person or do something. I don't know what it is, but God puts those precious things, and He will call you to turn aside. He will cause you to take time. And it can look, and it is not, it doesn't feel comfortable. Now, let's just be honest. When you're working and you're in a mode and you're a to-do list, I very much like lists. I like working through my list, and I'm going to get from the top to the bottom by the end of my day. That's my goal. I love doing that. List, task-oriented person. That's Julie. She knows. I've got a yellow sticky right now at my computer. And when the Spirit prompts you, and that's not on my list, it takes faith to turn aside. But praise God, He knows your list too. He knows what you got to get done. And it's a little bit, I've kind of found almost like, it's almost like a little bit like a golf. You know, one of the things that fascinated me about golf, and you see when people putt, I mean, just really, I remember seeing it for the first time as a young kid, and you see people putt, and you see, well, there's the ball, there's the hole. And it's like they're putting it way to the left of the hole, and you're going, what? And they putt it, and sure enough, that ball just curves right back into the hole. Because a good golfer understands the lay of the land. And they understand that, yeah, if I was just shoot a straight shot into the hole, because of the lay of the land, it would be pushed off. It really wouldn't get to the target. Well, the cool thing about serving God and being led by the Holy Ghost is God understands the lay of your day. He knows forces, thoughts. He knows the attacks of the enemy ahead of time. He knows things that are coming at you. And you might only be in step, you know, 3 of 6 of your to-do list that day, and all of a sudden you feel like you're getting called off to just pray for so-and-so or to do something or to thank God or just worship God or do something like that. You know, and you don't know, you don't even realize that just getting spiritually minded for that little bit of time, it's going to get you right to where you need to be at the end of your day as the enemy tries to come against different things. There is a, in other words, a trusting that God sees the big picture. And if He's prompting me, He sees the lay of my day, He sees the lay of the land, and this is going to be good. You know, I might not even fully understand until that great day when I'm in heaven and see the fullness of, you know, what happened, you know, when I know in full. I only know in part right now. But at some point, I just realized that, yes, there is going to be a calling aside where God is going to, He is going to call me aside and He is going to get my attention. So in other words, the first thing that Moses saw there, the burning bush, it got his attention. Then he had a decision to turn aside. Once he turned aside, God spoke. Praise God. Now, let's just talk about this turning aside. What that looks like in real life, it can be anywhere from a 30-second pit stop to a multiple-day layover. That turning aside. If you really read the account of Moses, as dramatic and as big as the event was, there wasn't a whole lot of dialogue there. I don't know how many minutes it happened in terms of. I'm sure that it was holy ground. There were some amazing things going on. There were some things that he was doing back and forth. But I mean, you think of a man going back to a country to deliver an entire nation. It's amazing how much God got done when somebody just gave him his full attention by faith to come aside. And that might, like I said, you're prompting to come aside, it could be for 30-second pit stop. I mean, I remember one of the things that was so remarkable to me, my last pastor, Pastor Paul Carlson, he had been dealing with a fear for months, years, regarding his wife. The fear that his wife was going to get killed, murdered. He was living in Haiti at the time. He was a horrible revolution going on. He was seeing kind of really bad things. And so the enemy kind of took certain visuals that he saw and applied that to his wife, and it was just very believable to him. You know, he's the father of lies. It's the thing that he's good at is lying and playing on your insecurities and knowing how to get weasel in there. So anyway, this is one thing that he was dealing with. You know, and they were at Haiti, and Lord called him back to the States. You know, because while they were living in Haiti, he was afraid that one of these revolutionaries was going to come into their house and, you know, assume that they were on the wrong side of the political fence and slaughter their family or, you know, that kind of thing. And so when he got called back to the States, he was so glad because finally he could not have to be afraid of his wife getting killed anymore. But he came back to the States and all of a sudden he's envisioning her getting a car accident and getting mugged. See, the spirit of fear will adapt itself wherever you are. You can't geographically run away from a spirit of fear. You know, it's just going to accommodate you as long as you're open to that voice. And the amazing thing to me, though, was his deliverance. He'd been dealing with this thing for so long, and he is at work. He is tending his flock, right? I mean, we know better. When we're at work, we're supposed to be good workers, and yes, we are. We're supposed to be good workers. That's not the time to be having your secret place, big devotion time while you're at work, all right? We understand that. We know that. But it's also amazing how quick God can do something. And he was just working away. He was just doing his deal. And all of a sudden, he just felt that prompting of the Holy Spirit. The prompting of the Holy Spirit just said, Paul? He just sensed the Lord just saying, Paul. He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, Lord. And he said, you know that fear you've been dealing with about Dana? He goes, yeah, yeah. He said, it's not from me. Now, he could have probably preached four sermons that it wasn't from him. But the Spirit of God said, that's not from me. It's amazing how it can release your moral obligation. Fear is very sadistic in the sense that it gives you a certain sense of moral obligation to have to maintain it and to justify it. But when you know that line of reasoning, it's not from God, you have no moral obligation to have to play with it or hold on to it or anything. But anyway, he was just saying, that's not for me. And he just said, he said, I didn't get up on the table and make any big, you know, words. He just said, I just, right there under my breath, he just said, thank you, Father. He said, Satan, I resist that in Jesus' name. You're gone. Thank you, Father. Maybe 20 seconds. Something he'd been dealing with for a long time. And some of these things we think, oh, if I get enough in the Word, enough in the prayer, I'm going to do a bunch of stuff and do a bunch of stuff and overcome. I'll tell you what, you just turn aside to a prompting. He can do something in a moment that all your Bible study and praying, and that's all good stuff. You know that if you go to this church. Important to do. But nothing can substitute for turning aside when the Spirit of God prompts you. He got free in a moment of time. It maybe cost his employer about 30 seconds of his time on the inside. There he settled, and he just went right on down the road. Now, God could have done that in different contexts and venues, but the Lord prompted Pastor Paul while he was tending his flock, while he was at work, and he just took a time and said, okay, praise God. Yes, Father, I hear it. And he said, that was it. Now, he said, the cool thing about this, that testimony too, is it's not like when that happened, then I never had any temptation to fear again. He said, but I saw the light. That's not coming from God. And so he'd been like in this dark tunnel for years, and then all of a sudden he turned around, and when that revelation, that's not for me, he had a light and he had a fixed point. He said, then he began to walk toward it. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I've received a spirit of adoption, where I cry, Abba, Father. It's not from me. He said, those thoughts would come, but it was like the peripheral vision of, in his mind. And he knew he had a decision that he could turn aside and look at him and go back in the wormhole again, or he could keep his eye on that light. He said, but that revelatory moment happened at that point, at that time, when he turned aside. It was a pit stop. It's amazing how much God can accomplish in a very little period of time when we will break away from our to-do list at times. Just say, okay, God, I sense something in my spirit. I'm going to turn aside and hear this great sight. Hear what you're saying to me. That's when grace and mercy to help in time of need stuff happens. It's there. It's powerful. That's a really powerful part of your personal, intimate walk with the Lord Jesus too. So, guideline number one, when God speaks, he calls you aside. He wants your attention. A lot of times, I want my soul to be restored. I want to be free. First things first, he's going to make you lie down in green pastures. Then he's going to plop you right on your back and, you know, in the green pastures, and you're going to look out across the still waters. What is that a picture of? He has your attention. Now he's going to restore your soul. And then from the place of restoring your soul, then he's going to lead you into paths of righteousness. I want direction. First things first, lie down. Look. Let him restore your soul. Let him remind you that he loves you and you know that he loves you, not just theologically, but I'm breathing the air. His peace is there and from that place. So he'll show you things. But the first things first, he's going to call you aside. He's going to ask of you by faith to give him your attention for those things that you're perceiving. Next thing. Once he has your attention, it's very important to realize as you're led by the Spirit of God, he speaks your language. Oh, this is such an important one too. This is huge because, again, as we're kind of learning and renewing our mind to the fact that God wants to speak to me, we can kind of have some of these paradigms of what it looks like when God speaks. You know, ironically enough, you know, that movie, if you saw the movie Moses and the Ten Commandments, but Charlton Heston, that was the old 1956-57 version, Charlton Heston is a believer, and he had a sense, I saw a documentary about it, and he had a certain sense of this concept, that God speaks in a way that you hear, in the way that you understand. And so he asked the producers of this movie that he could use his voice as the voice of God. And when I go back now and listen to it, and it's this voice, Moses and different things like that, if you listen, that's his voice. That's his voice throughout the whole thing, because he had that sense. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you in a way you hear. You know? Really a very perceptive aptitude, you know, spiritually, because it's absolutely true. And this is kind of the old, we got to get rid of some of the old paradigms, some of the drama and different things like that, that I'm going to have this, you know, this amazing earth-shaking experience. I know Kenneth Hagin would tell us sometimes, you know, we can miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. And so many times that leading of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be so familiar because God knows you so well and He knows exactly how to speak your language. Here's a great story I just love as it relates to this point. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he, Eli, said, "I didn't call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose, went to Eli, said, "Here I am, you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. There was, he was still learning to get his, didn't have his spiritual legs under him quite yet. And the Lord called to Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived, obviously Eli had been down this road before, that the Lord had called the boy. So Samuel's hearing something loud as day, which could be just very much be Eli. Eli's not hearing it. Samuel's hearing something that Eli isn't hearing. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" It's kind of like getting called aside. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And got your attention. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." He launches his prophetic ministry. But the thing that I so love about this story is that the voice that Samuel was hearing was so natural to his ear. It was as though his mentor, his closest father-like, adopted father almost-like figure in his life, was speaking to him. And there was such a sense of trust. That's what it provoked in his spirit. It was so familiar and comfortable and safe. It was his spiritual daddy, Eli, talking to him. Really, it was his heavenly father talking to him. What are we talking about here as being led by the Spirit? God speaks your language. And as you begin to turn aside to some of these promptings, you're going to be amazed at how familiar God's voice is going to be talking to you. Jesus, the apostles, I mean, you just read it throughout the New Testament. I didn't bullet point them all, but just the illustration from agriculture to athletics using tangible, natural things that people are familiar with to communicate spiritual truth. And God is going to tap your talents, abilities, interests, personalities, personality traits, your sense of humor. He knows you completely in that sense. And he'll speak your language. And this, is, again, is can be where we miss the leading of the Spirit of God. Because like Samuel, it was just so familiar. It was so like a voice he had heard many times before that sometimes you can miss it and say, no, that's God. He's gonna speak to you. I mean, you can even see, as you're just reading along in the New Testament sometime, you can tell that the Apostle Paul probably had a little bit of a sarcastic edge in his personality. Just if you were to meet him on the street. Some of those chapters in the New Testament, they've got a little bit of edge of sarcasm where the Spirit of God worked through and with to get some points across. Read it in Galatians 5 or 2 Corinthians 11, you know, just dealing with certain situations in the church where, yeah, okay, but God was speaking. God will use your sense of humor. He'll use your love for the Green Bay Packers to teach you spiritual things. He'll use everything that you really, a lot of times, hold dear, things that you're really, really good at. He loves to use for illustrations. You know, one of the things that I've done a lot of is computer programming. Different languages and things like that, developing software. That's just like, you know, let me at it. That's food. I love the challenge. Make the computer do that and write a program to do it. Oh, love that. So, yeah, a very small segment of the population. I know this is probably not going to, you know, I'm going to give you some programming illustrations. They may not bless you, but they blessed me, okay? A lot of times what the enemy will do is he will, when he comes at your mind, is he will try to bring confusion and he'll try to isolate and he'll try to depress. And a lot of times what happens, now I'm going to switch over into my programming world. And maybe if you've seen a little bit of programming, you might have seen this program. It's a two-line program. It'll say print your name, go to print your name. You'll just see your name print over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. It only takes two lines. And you wrote a computer program, and it kind of looks cool. The only problem is it's an infinite loop. It never stops. It just keeps going over. You know, now if, you know, you got a program or software that's bad, your computer will hang or freeze or something like that sometimes, and your computer can get in a loop, an infinite loop, and it just gets stuck. And I had that one time. You know, Satan has his programs. Infinite loops. You can't think your way out of them. There are fear loops. There are bitterness loops. There are, you know, all kinds of loops. And I remember I was looping one day, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, hit the brake key. And I knew exactly what he meant. Because I was a computer programmer. Again, that might not bless you. It blessed me. Because I knew that as a programmer, and I'd write programs, you don't always write them right the first time, all right? You got some iterations, very much like the renewing of your mind. You don't always renew it right the first time. But anyway, I realized that as a programmer, if I got in an infinite loop, the computer's hanging, it's programmed, it's hanging, I got to hit the break key, and I got to fix the code. And so when I'm looping on something, and all of a sudden the Lord says, hit the break key, praise God, I can hit the break key. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. Green pastures, still waters, throne of grace. Come unto me, all you who are looping. And I will break that program. I'll break that sucker. And we'll add a few more lines of code. We'll add some forgiveness lines. We'll add some casting care lines. We'll add some grace to help lines. And then all of a sudden that program's going to start to run smoothly. I can't tell you how much I've grown spiritually through God, not just an example, of God using programming stuff in my life. For you, whatever it is you like that you're good at and stuff, as you turn aside and listen, and you kind of get an idea, that's God. That's God speaking to you. That's you being led by the Spirit of God. And yet it can be so familiar, it's like, oh, Eli, you're talking to me. Or, oh, just be listening. Be listening. You know, that's a good thing to do. Just pray, Lord, show me. Show me things here. Show me some things that I can learn from the things that I'm doing. And he will. He'll take those analogies, those natural things in your life, praise God, and he'll make them real to you. And then, finally, Here's a very important one as well, too. As you're led by the Spirit of God, He's going to call you aside. He's going to speak your language. He's going to speak to you in a way that's familiar. You know, think about that. When you speak to your own kids, you know their vocabulary, right? You don't try to speak above their vocabulary and really honestly try to communicate with them. Well, God knows your vocabulary. He knows what words you got in you. He knows how to speak. So He's not going to be talking above your vocabulary. No good parent, natural parent would do it. How much more will your Heavenly Father stay within your vocabulary? So as we expect to hear, don't expect something out there. It's kind of incredible. It's a kind of a paradox. He's going to lead you into new territory through the familiar. Through things you already understand, He's going to give you more light. But He's got to take the things you understand to bring you to those places. So, as you're listening, yeah, I'm aside, I'm listening, I believe it's going to be within my vocabulary, and I will esteem those things. This isn't just mom, dad talking, dad, Eli talking, my work talking. No, God is speaking to me through these things that are familiar to me. And as I'm there too, finally, I just want you to understand, as you're led by the Spirit of God, He understands you completely. And I love this. And this really kind of relates. We looked at Moses' call. We looked at Samuel's call. And this really is, it's Jeremiah's call. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Praise God. Isn't that good to know? You know, Moses kind of had the same hang up too. Who am I? But I'll tell you what, if God's prompting you by His Spirit and you're turning aside and He's giving you something and He's speaking your language about something, He's already done the math. He already knows. He already knows us completely. Here's just an excerpt of a really good song. Just read the whole song, but I just did the first few verses. "Oh Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together." This is just context for as we're hearing what God is saying to us as He's speaking our language. He is accounted for everything. And probably this is one of the most amazing scriptures along these lines too, is Hebrews 4:13. "There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Amplified. "And not a creature exists that is concealed from His sight, but all things are open and exposed and naked and defenseless to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." I love that. And this is something that is so important for all of us to be reminded of. When I see this scripture, this is the scripture where you take the little, tiny, thin, transparent fish and hold them up to the sun. And you see right through him. You see his spine. You see his little heart beating. You see everything going on. You know, that's kind of what when I see this scripture, it's like that. That's how completely and thoroughly God knows me. And this is a very important aspect of being led by the Spirit of God, because when we're talking and communicating with anybody else other than God, there is a certain defense mechanism we may have as far as how much of our hand we show. And you can be used to hiding your hand about things and situation, but when you're talking about this being led by the Spirit of God and communicating with God, you've got to realize you are not holding any cards in your hand that He doesn't know. You're not holding any cards in your hand that He hasn't already seen. This scripture is powerful. Think about that. Your whole life, every moment of your life, 24/7, He has seen it. He has been there. Now, if I had a video of my life 24/7, up on the big screen for you all to see. You would hate me and never want to talk to me again. Would anybody want to volunteer their video? But there is somebody who has seen your video and absolutely loves you and wants to talk to you again and cares about you and is right there. And this is what I'm talking about, that place without dropping the pretense, saying, praise God. This really is a safe place. And that's one of the tactics of the enemy. He tries the accuser of the brethren. He brings up the failures, you know, and he tries to accuse and accuse and accuse, but that's where you got to remember, hey, God's already seen the video. And he still says, I got a throne of grace. Praise God. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not an operator. I'm just, yeah, praise God, washed in the blood. Praise God. He understands me completely, knows me thoroughly. Because it is tempting, you know, think about that. You know, Jeremiah, if we would have went on to say, he said, Jeremiah goes, I'm only a youth. He said, don't say you're a youth. Touched his mouth, gave him words. There's ability that I'm going to give you. Moses, what can I do? He said, well, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. And really, as you begin to get into those places and he begins to speak to you, that's where you got to realize, hey, he understands me completely, thoroughly. You know, and that's where we can then be honest to talk about things. You know, there are certain places that you can't go with people because they can be sore spots. They can be hard spots. And you know how they're going to react because you've been down that path before. But you can go there with him. You can talk about anything with him. He's seen the movie already. He's seen all your hurts. He's seen all your failures. He's already seen your movie. There's no place you just can't go with him. But there's a turning aside, and there's a listening. It's like, okay, Lord, here we go. Here's what's on my heart, and then he'll begin to speak to you. And then when he begins to give you things and show you things, praise God, it's good to know that he's already accounted for the things he's going to show you to do next. You can still ask, Lord, how can this be? Nothing wrong, an honest question. But you can ask it, Lord, show me. I believe you. I trust you. I like that Mary, you know. The angel appears to Mary, and she's, wow, how can this be? But what's her conclusion? Nevertheless, Lord, even as it's been, let it be done, even as you've told me. You get to those secret place times, and the Lord shows you something. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. You've done the math. You know me inside out. And so I believe what you're showing me is true, and I'm going to walk in it and walk it out. Because not only has he seen the movie of your past, but you see some amazing things about your future. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amplified, I love this. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Oh, I want those paths. Before the paths are the pastures. Before the pastures, you're going to turn aside. He's got stuff. He's got direction. He had some big things for Moses. But what if Moses would have said, oh, that's cool, and went on tending his flock? There's some of those promptings. I've had those things where I thought, man, praise God, I stopped and prayed. Praise God, I called that person. Praise God, you're like, whoa. It's like, you're really important. Yeah, you are. You are. You're his hands and feet in the earth. Your life is amazingly important. Good works he's ordained you to walk in. They come through by the prompting of the Holy Ghost as he leads you into those paths. He begins to show you some of those amazing things. And as he does, your life begins to unfold in a powerful way. This is kind of a recent song that I've heard that I really love that speaks really this truth so well, I think. It's just called Wanted. But it just says, from the day you were born and took your first breath, you opened your eyes and in came the light. He was watching you, but all of your life you couldn't shake the lies in your head saying you're a mistake. Oh, but you were made by a God who knows your name. He doesn't make mistakes. You are wanted. To every broken heart, he stands with open arms. You are wanted. To every searching soul, Look to the rising sun. If you're lonely, hurting, gone too far, to the outcast, you come as you are, for you are wanted. You are wanted, you are wanted. Let this be the day that joy takes the place of all of the years that shame tried to steal away. He's calling you aside. Lift your eyes to his face. Come run into his arms of grace. He's seen the movie. You are wanted. To every broken heart, he stands with open arms. You are wanted, every searching soul. Look to the rising sun. If you're lonely, hurting, gone too far, to the outcast, you come as you are. For you have been marked. You are set apart. And he calls you his. So you don't have to search. You don't have to look for where you belong. You are wanted. You are wanted. When God speaks, what does it mean in real life? This thing that we call being led by the Holy Ghost. It means, and this is the cool thing about it, there's some things, I'll tell you what, this kind of stuff that I'm talking about this morning, this action, calling us out, it's the same whether you're a baby in Christ or whether you've been serving God for 50 years. This stuff doesn't change. The content of what he tells you might change. What he's asking you to do might change from a baby. But the dynamic action of the witness of the Holy Ghost and the turning aside, you never outgrow these steps. These are the steps of a child and a parent calling aside. Praise God. It's great with our kids. It's really cool. You know, you're raising kids, but it's cool when you get those one-on-one times with your kids. The calling aside. And things that can happen. Things that you can speak into their lives, their hearts, and things like that. And I'll tell you what, that song, Wanted. When I heard that song for the first time, I thought of my own kids. I thought, I remember when each of them took their first breath. And I'm their dad, and I love them, and, you know, and by faith, I know God knows me. He remembers me, knew me before I was made. Knows me, completely understands me. But these things, they are the same. This won't change. You're going to sense a prompting of the Spirit of God. It can come across in a various number of ways. That's a whole other sermon in of itself. But as you get to be familiar with the Spirit of God, he's going to prompt you. He's going to show you some things. As you do, take some time. Turn aside. It doesn't have to be days and hours even. It can be just moments, minutes. Just respond to it. As you do, listen. And don't be listening for something that you heard somebody else say that God told them. You be listening on the inside for God speaking your language. If you're from the South, he speaks Southern. He does. You don't have to be listening for King James Elizabethan English. If you're listening for that, you might be missing a whole bunch of plain stuff that he really wants to speak to you. He's going to speak your language. And whatever he says to you, you can know one thing. He's already seen your movie. He can't isolate. I mean, the only way his enemy can isolate you is to get you to believe the lie that God is going to be somehow shocked. Anytime you miss it, it's not when God, even when you declare it, confess it, acknowledge it, that's not when God finds out about it. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, whatever happens in my life, whatever you have to say to me, you understand me completely. You know me thoroughly. You've done the math. And whatever it is that you have to say, praise God. I can do it. I receive it. Like Mary. Let it be according as you have said to me. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus this morning. We thank you for the precious leading of the Holy Spirit, Father, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can believe. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. I am a child of God. I will turn aside to those promptings. I will have ears to hear those promptings, to turn aside and give you my full attention. And I will listen for your voice that knows my vocabulary and speak wisdom to my heart. Show me things to come. Show me the way of escape. Lord Jesus, you know me thoroughly. No pretense, no games, just a safe place, a secret place, me and you. Lord Jesus, today is my day. I call upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sin. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive your love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And I will follow you, Lord Jesus, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed, the second part of that